not what you look at, but what you see. When Henry David Thoreau wrote that in his journal on August 5, 1851, he may have been talking about the ingenuity he found in nature's boundless creativity as he spent his days observing Walden Pond's thriving ecosystem. That boundless creativity Thoreau described over 160 years ago can be found today in unlikely places. An unusual example is a children's cancer ward at Davies Award-winning Lucile Packard Children's Hospital, Stanford. Welcome to Steps to Value, the HIMSS podcast that looks at people and processes, information and technology, as they work together to transform the delivery of healthcare. In today's episode, we learn how pediatric patients at Lucy Packard and other hospitals are leveraging participatory design techniques and tools like makerspaces to engage themselves, their families, and their providers in socially collaborative design projects. We talk to Gokul Krishnan, Director of Maker Therapy at WestEd, about the impact makerspaces have had on the well-being of chronically ill pediatric patients battling diseases such as cancer and cystic fibrosis. In our interview from HIMSS 18, Gokul describes the impact that giving pediatric patients design tools has on increasing their activity, improving their mental health, and reclaiming the right to be a child in an environment that demands they grow up way too fast. Gokul shares the story of the high school student who inspired this groundbreaking work, and the responsibilities all healthcare providers have to engage the spirit as much as the bodies of the patients in their care. All that and more coming up.
HIMSS Nonprofit Partner Membership is designed for nonprofit organizations and professional organizations that share HIMSS objectives to transform health through the effective and efficient use of IT. Benefits of this complimentary membership include an individual membership for an executive from the member's organization, top-notch education, HIMSS news and research, and countless collaboration and networking opportunities. Learn more at hims.org/membership.
Gokul Krishnan is Director Maker Therapy at WestEd. Gokul, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So Maker Therapy gets patients involved in product design experiences while they're receiving care. Can you discuss the patient population that you have worked with, and can you share some stories of those patients?
A core component of Maker Therapy is a makerspace. And so the idea started when I was a graduate student at Vanderbilt University. And the patient population that I worked with were cystic fibrosis patients. And cystic fibrosis patients, when they're admitted into the hospital, they're isolated in their rooms for the entire duration of their treatment. And so I designed mobile maker spaces that could be brought into the patient's room and left there for the entire duration of their treatment. And it was kind of like fascinating. Through the research, we found out that patients would use the mobile maker space to come up with all kinds of creative ideas. And I noticed that patients' inventions actually fell into four general categories. The first one was devices that could solve privacy issues. Second was artifacts to decorate their room. Third was gadgets that could depict a patient's mood or state of well-being. But the fourth, which was the most popular, was contraptions to scare or prank adults, especially nurses. So pranking nurses was the most popular category of inventions. I remember asking a patient, why do you want to prank nurses and doctors? And she said, Gokul, when we're in the hospital, people are always telling us what to do, and now we can get back at other people in the hospital. So pranking was so popular.
So pranking as a patient engagement strategy.
Exactly.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because a lot of control and agency, and now they have control over other people. And at Vanderbilt, I focused on specifically on cystic fibrosis patients. At Stanford Children's Hospital, I'm focusing on adolescent and young adult cancer.
Can you describe Gokul can you educate our listeners in terms of what is a makerspace? What constitutes a makerspace?
So a makerspace is can be a physical space, it can be a mobile space where people can work on projects. They can design and they can make and they can create all kinds of things using a variety of tools and materials and resources, for example, 3D printers or circuits. And the purpose of it is to engage with these tools and these materials to design and make things that are personally meaningful to them.
So we've talked about, you mentioned some of the categories of the
products that these patients are designing. From a clinical perspective, what kind of impact does the experience of participating in the makerspace have as far as the clinical outcomes for the patients you're working with?
When I was doing my research at Vanderbilt, I was getting a lot of feedback from clinicians that they were noticing that the cystic fibrosis patients that I was working with, they were a lot more physically active with the mobile makerspace in their room. So we decided to use wearables to track physical activity data for the patients, and the results were truly fascinating. So without the makerspace, mobile makerspace in their room, patients would take an average of 350 steps the entire day. But with the mobile makerspace in the room, the total number of steps started to increase to nearly 2,400 steps. So that's nearly a 7.5-fold increase in steps. And so that's how the term maker therapy came into being there. You know, these spaces are more than just physical spaces. They could also be therapeutic environments. This is especially exciting for patients like CF patients who are isolated in their rooms. Yeah, they're trying to get them physically active. So enhancing and improving on their like physical activity was like an aha moment for this, for maker therapy and for this initiative to grow and have a positive impact in the healthcare world.
It sounds like the participating in that design activity, is it that it's taking their attention away from thinking about their condition? What do you think is in increasing that movement you're talking about with your cystic fibrosis patients?
So as they engage with the space, it's deviating their thoughts from the isolation of hospitalization. And the reason why they're physically active is as they're working on these projects, they're getting out of their bed, they're finding materials to like come up with their ideas, but they're also collaborating with other people in the hospital. They're getting their nurses, they're getting their doctors, their families, and other people in the hospital involved in the design and making process. And so we kind of use that term that, you know, the patients now are disciplining materials, but they're also disciplining people in the hospital. They're asking their doctors to like test out ideas. They're asking the nurses to like find different kinds of materials. So the mobile makerspace kind of like spreads, the idea spreads throughout the hospital. Tell people like, you know, the entire hospital becomes like a makerspace. It becomes a socially collaborative world where everyone wants to be involved in the design and making process of that patient who's isolated in their room. And so the reason they're so physically active is because of the social construct of the hospital.
And you know, we're talking about patients, but you're talking about how now clinicians become part of this design process. Mm-hmm. Any insights in terms of how the clinicians react to becoming part of this design community?
I think one thing, just an example at, so we open up a pop-up space at Stanford Children's Hospital, and that pop-up space is really unique because it's open 24/7 and it's also located within the cancer ward. It allows patients to leave their room. A lot of the cancer patients, they don't want to leave their room. And so so it's getting the patients out of their room to come to that space to like work on projects. And clinicians and other people have a really hard time just getting these patients out of their room. It's depressing. They're in the hospital for weeks and like months at a time. And if their mental health is not stimulated, it doesn't make a difference of how good your medical treatments are. Mental health is really important. So it's exciting, like patients who never wanted to leave their room are now leaving their room to come to the pop-up space to work on projects. For example, when they use the 3D printer, sometimes it takes 8 hours for something to be built. And what the patients do is They set the printer up, it prints out for 8 hours, and they leave their room every like half an hour to check up on the print. And so
that's great.
And so the clinicians and everyone are so excited that patients who they've tried really hard to get out of their rooms are now getting out of their rooms just to just check up on their prints. And they bring them along to see like, hey, this is what I'm printing. And we just recently we decided to take like technologies into patients who are undergoing like stem cell transplant. And So I took a 3D printer and took some circuits into a patient's room who's in stem cell. And we got feedback like the next day from clinicians that he's getting out of his bed, he's eating better, and he's much better emotionally, all within one day.
So maker therapy is now, you've been in hospitals up to this point, and you're now branching out into providing some of these pop-up spaces for patients' families in addition to the patients themselves. What drove that evolution? And are you seeing similarities in the way that patients' families utilize the maker spaces versus the patients themselves?
So on March 21st, we opened the world's first maker space at a Ronald McDonald House, at the Ronald McDonald House at Stanford. And I'm excited about this because it focuses on patients, families, and siblings. And to kind of like think about a program with only purely patient focus is not only short-sighted, but it counters to its sustainability. You know, chronic illness impacts the entire family, and the entire family needs to be involved in all aspects of patient's care and quality of life. And so this is kind of like the niche that I'm exploring at the Ronald McDonald Houses. And oftentimes, a patient spends more time at a Ronald McDonald House than a hospital. For example, patients staying at a Ronald McDonald House could be there for a year waiting for and recovering from a heart transplant. So the research behind family-centered care in pediatrics kind of demonstrates the importance of involving the whole family in the treatment and healing process of the patients. And Ronald McDonald House charities have conducted their own research to show that when families stay at their house, patients do better and the family fares better. And so maker therapy is an opportunity for families to heal together.
You know, we've been talking a lot about patients in a more general manner. I'm wondering if we could bring this down to individual people. Are there any children, patients, let's call them children. Mm-hmm. Are there any children whose experiences with this makerspace you'd like to share that can illustrate illustrate in specifics how what we've been talking about in general has impacted them?
So the whole initiative was inspired by a young cancer patient of mine because I decided to volunteer when I was a graduate student, just decided to volunteer at the Children's Hospital. And the first patient that I worked with was a young cancer patient. His name was Brandon, and he was this really bright and aspiring high school senior whose goal was to become an engineer. And unfortunately, he was diagnosed with leukemia and he was undergoing treatment at the hospital. And when I first met Brandon, he was kind of unhappy with the services the hospital were providing him to stimulate his creativity and interests. And so I decided to give him a mystery box. I took like a box and I put this microcontrollers, I put like some circuits, he loved programming, and I put some art and craft materials and I put it in a box and I put like a ribbon on it. And I said, Brandon, here's your mystery box. I want you to design and make anything you can imagine using the stuff in it. It could go either two ways. One is he could do something with it or he could just like toss it out. So I woke up the next morning and I got an email from his mom saying, Brandon actually built something. So I quickly biked to the hospital and I met with Brandon and I saw his invention. He built a nightlight for nurses.
Wow.
And the purpose of the nightlight was to illuminate the patient's bathroom, allowing nurses to determine if any trash needed to be disposed of without the nurse turning on light and waking up Brandon or his mom from sleeping. So just like an engineer, Brandon identified a problem and came up with a solution using the materials at hand. And I remember asking Brandon, so why did you build this? Your mom could have gone to like CVS or Walgreens to just get a nightlight. And he said something truly powerful. He said, Gokul, I spent 8 hours working on this that I forgot I was in the hospital. And from that day, you know, Brandon's been, he helped me with the initiative. He helped provide like feedback. And that's how I started like recruit patients to be part of the team. So patients give me feedback. They've helped in like designing the maker spaces, the mobile maker spaces, the maker spaces at Stanford and Ronald McDonald House. Recruiting patients to be a part of the team, and Brandon passed away last year in February 25th, and so
sorry to hear that.
And so the spaces that I'm developing is done in a way so that Brandon's memory continues to live on, and that's why patients are truly a huge core part of this initiative. At Stanford Children's Hospital, I hired a patient as an intern to help support me with the design of the pop-up space. We had three other patients who I was working with. They all reached out to me and they said, we want to be involved in it. We want to help. And so patients are just coming. They're so excited with these kinds of hands-on activities that they want to help beyond just the working with the space. They want to help in growing this idea, which is great.
So we talked about Brandon and the impact he had on your life, your experience. For patients and hospitals grappling with this question of engagement, of trying to improve clinical outcomes, mm-hmm. trying to improve the well-being of their patients, what recommendations would you have for creating that co-design mentality in a space where it's almost natural to have sort of the hierarchy of provider and patient and, mm-hmm. and the way that sets up the relationship? What recommendations would you have to have that truly collaborative co-design experiences between health care providers and the patients that they're providing care for?
I mean, it's a really good question. And I think it all boils down to how people in the hospital view patients, right? And to kind of like see the potential in them. And it goes back to kind of like an experience in 2015 when I was working with a young 18-year-old patient who had cystic fibrosis. And, you know, I entered her room one day and I saw a quote by Henry David Thoreau that was written on the window near the entrance of her room. And the quote read, "It is not what you look at that matters, it is what you see." And I asked her why she wrote that quote on her window. And she explained, you know, people have different perspectives on what they see. Some people might walk here and see a bunch of sick kids like a drain on society, but someone else might come in here and see, like you, the potential that we have to create something better, to create something unique, to do something. Some people might see a broken, rundown house, and others may see the dream home that they can fix up. It is not what you look at that matters, it is what you see. And I think we need to see the potential in these chronically ill children, and that's something that we need to change in the healthcare world, that they're more than just sick kids in the hospital. These patients are bright, imaginative, and also inventive kids who have the potential to design and make and also live fuller and healthier lives. It's the perception of patients that needs to be changed first, and that's very important.
So we've been talking a lot about product designers, these wonderful children and the products, the products that they're creating. This podcast, we focus a lot on the relationship between humans and technology. And so this is a question we ask all of our guests. For you personally, what's your favorite technological invention and what impact do you think it's had on our culture?
So my favorite technological invention is the 3D printer. I'm going to ask you kind of like a quick question. Yeah. So do you know what the most popular use of the 3D printer was for patients at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital when they had the mobile maker space in their room?
I'm going to guess making keychains.
No. So the most popular use of the 3D printer was patients would use it to design and make gifts for their favorite doctors, nurses, and child life specialists. And so they would use the 3D printer to give back to others in the hospital who were working so hard and helping them to get better. So who would have thought that they would use a 3D printer to do that? They weren't making gears. They weren't doing like the standard things like, you know, kids in schools do. They were making stuff for others. And so I always tell people, like, if we truly want to learn about empathy, spend time with a patient in the hospital because they truly care about others.
Well, Gokul Krishnan is Director of Maker Therapy at WestEd. Gokul, thanks so much for joining us today on Steps of Value.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hi, my name is Jesse Bird. I bring value to HIMSS members by creating strategic connections with our nonprofit partners and industry leaders to work together to transform health. You're listening to Steps to Value.
How are you engaging the whole person that is your patient? What opportunities are you providing them to help create a more collaborative space in your own care environment? Send us a note as a voicemail or an email, and we'll play them on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Gokul Krishnan, Director, Maker Therapy at WestEd, for sharing how participatory design impacts patients, their families, and the providers of their care. For more information on everything discussed by today's guest, please visit this episode's landing page in the HIMSS Value Suite. Steps to Value is a copyrighted production of HIMSS. HIMSS is a global voice, advisor, and thought leader of health transformation through health information and technology with a unique breadth and depth of expertise and capabilities to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of health, healthcare, and care outcomes. HIMSS designs and leverages key data assets, predictive models, and tools to advise global leaders, stakeholders, and influencers of best practices in health information and technology so that they have the right information at the point of decision. HIMSS drives innovative forward thinking around the best uses of information and technology in support of better connected care, improved population health, and low cost of care. Steps to Values, co-produced by Rod Pahowski. Kelly Lippitt is story editor and guest relations manager. I'm Adam Baser, and we hope to see you next time on Steps to Value.